Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It's here! March Madness! With my apologies to the first four in Dayton, March Madness gets underway today in droves. And it's one of the 2 days. You can count Saturday and Sunday, but it's a different feel on Saturday and Sunday if you don't work weekends and maybe you've kind of planned your time to watch the games that are taking place. Not to mention there are half as many teams still standing by the time that we get to the weekend. But these 2 days, Thursday and Friday of March Madness, and today actually happens to be the Ides of March, which I think is very fitting, Thursday, March 15th. They began with basketball games at 12:15 Eastern. So for those of you, maybe you took off on the West Coast and the game started at 9:15 in the morning. Or, if you're in Alaska, you have to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning to prepare for your games. You're eating breakfast with your first college basketball tips. Yeah, the first game begins at 12:15 Eastern time. That is Pittsburgh time, which is where the first game tips off. And likely doesn't end until well after midnight Eastern time, because the last game is set to begin at 9:57 Eastern time, though it'll be in Dallas. And that's only if they stay on schedule. So over the course of these next 2 days, if you are a college basketball fan, if you're a basketball fan, heck, you don't even need to be a hoops fan. If you just love the drama, the excitement, the entertainment, if you like the fact that when one game goes to a commercial or halftime, there's something else that you can watch, and maybe, just maybe, you have a bracket or seven riding on what happens in a tournament where you have absolutely no control, well, then this is the kind of drama for you. I love these 2 days. We're exhausted. We're bleary-eyed, of course, but we're just like you. Everything else kind of takes a back seat during these 2 days.
That's ridiculous, man.
It's not at all. It is kind of difficult to navigate, though, if you're in an office. So certainly there's plenty of technology that you can use in your office to be able to follow games, whether it's radio, whether it's an app, whether you're watching on the computer and hoping your boss can't hear or see. My sister-in-law sits in a cubicle. She's in one of those open floor plans with her company now. And she sits in a cubicle. It's got a kind of a low wall in front of her so she can see everything in front of her. But right behind her is her boss, who's in a glass office in the corner. And so everything she does on her computer, everything she does on the phone, her boss can see. It's one of the benefits of working late nights and early mornings is that the bosses are only coming in as we're going out, and they're not here when we first get here. That's right, they are. We haven't had a snorer in a while. One of our bosses does come in right as we're getting off the air, so I generally see him, but the other one I only see at the Super Bowl. Once a year, that's it. I mean, it's not a bad setup. Tell me again why you don't like to work these hours. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Just by chance, if my boss happens to be listening this morning, you know I love you, boss. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What is the game you're most excited about today? We've got some big-time matchups, and they generally try to put the high-profile matchups in the primetime hours, the evening hours. But again, if you're into college hoops and you love the format, this may be the single greatest format of any sporting event on the calendar, because it's so condensed, because you get more bang for the buck, because it's over a few days where your entire life can be wrapped up in it. But there's some really cool matchups that will take place on this first day even that I'm really looking forward to. And we've got a couple of number one seeds that will be in action as well. Starting out even with a team that was much maligned. Why did the Oklahoma Sooners get into the NCAA tournament? Many of you will say it's because of their freshman phenom Trae Young. The committee can defend why it put the Sooners in the tournament, but I don't think a lot of you as basketball fans were buying it. But the Oklahoma Sooners, one of seven Big 12 teams that made it into the tournament. So obviously it's a stacked conference. But according to the committee chair, the wins in November and December for the Sooners counted the same as the losses or the lack of wins in conference play. They had six victories over top 35 RPI teams. We'll see whether or not the Sooners are battle-tested because they start out right away with Rhode Island. And that game is taking place in Pittsburgh. We'll have Kansas as the first number one seed up against the Ivy League champ Penn. We'll also have Villanova taking on Radford, who won its first ever game in its school history in Dayton. And then Kentucky and Davidson, too. So really looking forward to this first day. I will be awake. I don't know how coherent my tweets will be in 7 hours. You guys realize that in 7 hours, we're not even done working yet. And in 7 hours, we have to be up and watching games again. We'll be working again in a few hours. My dog's going to be so excited. You know what she does during basketball games? Actually, she likes basketball a little more than football. When it comes to football, she goes upstairs and sleeps. She doesn't like the clash of the helmets and the sound of football. Basketball, it's a little better for her. She'll at least hang out with me until there are late game hysterics and a buzzer beater and I scream or something, you know, make some loud exclamation. And then I wake her up with a start and she decides she's had enough noise. So our phone number is 855-212-4227. You've been finding me on Twitter, giving me your final four picks, even though we've had a serious discussion here about whether it's worse to hear about someone's fantasy team or their final four bracket. Oh my gosh. You put up a poll. You did not.
I did. It's a good one.
Would you like to read
it'll
to the peeps?
It'll be up for 2 days, too.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Which of these things is the most annoying to hear about from a stranger? 1, March Madness brackets. 2, fantasy sports lineups. 3, bad poker / gambling beats. Or 4, their favorite team's haters.
Wait, what's a gambling beat?
It's like that's what they call it when you lose in a rough, you know, brutal way.
Oh. You... Clearly, that's never happened
beat.
To me. Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah.
I have never had a bad beat myself. And then the final option is their favorite team's haters. Oh, my God.
That's my vote. That's the most annoying thing in the whole world.
Yeah,
Stop it. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares about who hates your team.
And grow up.
Seriously. What are you, 12? You started it. All right. So anyway, that poll's kind of funny. Different than one we've ever done before. You can find that on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. And if you haven't yet joined the After Hours Bracket Challenge, then make sure you do so. It's pinned to the top of our Facebook page. It's also all over our show Twitter and my Twitter, A-Law Radio. We've got a lot to talk about in terms of the NFL, so we'll sprinkle that in over the course of this hour, too. And in 25 minutes, the After Hours QB, he will join us again from Philadelphia. Joe is listening in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, Amy. Thanks for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
I had already tweeted my final four, but I wanted to make note of my wife last night. We were filling out our brackets, and she decided to put Alabama and Ohio State in the national championship game because they're really good at football. That was her reasoning.
Well, it does mean they have a lot of money to spend. You never know how that could help.
That is true. But like I said, I tweeted my final four, which was Carolina, Arizona, Nova, and Duke. But I would keep an eye out for Kentucky in the five seed. They seem to be hitting their stride recently.
Yeah, well, they have to, and that's kind of the deal with John Calipari. That's the only way that he can get these kids ready, right? Is to let them kind of go out there and stink at times if they need to. He points out over and over that they're teenagers, they're 18 and 19 year olds, and so by this time he's banking on they have grown up enough, they're battle tested enough through the SEC, they played in some major games to get them accustomed to pressure and the hype and the attention, and that now they can put it all together. I mean, that's always his gamble. That's how he's coached since he got back to Kentucky with the one and duns and these high profile blue chip recruiting classes.
Yeah. And I also like Arkansas and the 7 seed.
All right. Is that one of your sleeper picks?
That is one of my sleeper picks.
Sweet. Well, you tell your wife I'm rooting for her, actually.
Okay.
Okay.
You
thanks, Joe. You too. Staying in Pennsylvania, Matt is listening in Pittsburgh. Matt, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, Amy. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I just wanted to get your take on a bit of this NFL free agency. I mean, this is pretty crazy here.
Yeah.
I could sit here and talk about it all night, but I just wanted to get your take on a couple of the high-name free agents that are out there now, the Honey Badger and Sue and Jordy Nelson. I'm curious to get your take on where you think a good landing spot for them. I'm obviously a big Steelers fan out here in Pittsburgh, PA, but I would love to see the Honey Badger come over and play in the black and gold. I don't know if it'll happen, obviously, salary cap issues and whatnot, but I just wanted to get your take on a few of them players in the NFL free agency.
Well, Jordy Nelson made a visit to the Raiders on Wednesday. And then the two other, I thought this was kind of interesting, the two other visits he was making, both in the NFC North. No, wait, both in the NFC. One of them was in the NFC North. And so it sounds like he is planning on staying, maybe potentially, but it sounds like he could be West Coast, but he's not looking East Coast because he had two NFC teams, one being in California. I think it was San Francisco, other than the Raiders. And so he's going to find himself a home. It's interesting. I don't know if the rumor about him or the Patriots being interested in him was a plant or not. In case of Ndamukong Suh, this one, I think it could be a while. Certainly there's a lot of baggage there, but also how much money are you willing to spend on him? How much money is he worth? I think for Tyrann Matthew, that's another interesting one too. I do believe he'll find a contract. I don't think it's going to be very long, but he's, you know, he battled injuries last year. And so that's another one too, where, you know, how much of his drop off, so to speak, we know when he's really healthy, he's still very good and he's a difference maker. And that secondary, there isn't really anything he can't do back there, but can he be healthy? Can he be effective? He certainly has to be healthy to be effective. That's kind of the thing that we've seen. And so, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how much money these guys get and how long. I don't bet, but if I had to, I'd think Jordy Nelson would be off the market pretty darn quick, probably in the next couple of days. And I even saw someone who was writing, I don't remember who it was, but, you know, kind of insiders who are covering this, saying that, like, the Raiders were hoping that he wouldn't take any more visits, that they'd be able to grab him, you know, to convince him to stay and cancel the other two visits before he even left, hoping to make a big enough deal to him. So I feel like that would be a good fit. Wouldn't Derek Carr love to have another target like a Jordy Nelson?
Absolutely, absolutely. If he's looking into the Patriots and they're going to snipe another one of these high-profile receivers, you take out Amendola and add in Jordy, I mean, Brady's going to be unstoppable again. And then there's the Philly and the Rams over in the NFC. The Rams with their moves and Philly just staying on with their foot on the gas, bringing in a couple of these, you know, high-profile free agents as well. I mean, it's going to be an interesting year. I'm excited for it.
Well, like I said, I don't think the Patriots, both of his teams, the other teams that he was supposed to be taking visits to, were not in the AFC. They were in the NFC. So if that's all you're worried about, I don't think you have to worry about that. I could be wrong. I guess anything could happen. I think if the Patriots call, potentially you listen, but it may be that he's already narrowed it down, or his agents narrowed it down to a couple of different teams that are in the NFC.
Well, like I said, hopefully a Honey Badger comes over to Black and Gold. Maybe we can work it out. Thanks for taking my call, Amy.
Well, maybe, Matt, you should put in a phone call there. Maybe offer some of your chump change. That'd be cool. I thought it was fun that that there were teams or players out there, I should say, that were trying to recruit him, like J.J. Watt. And it's still it's kind of funny, too. We had a caller mention this yesterday. But it's kind of funny when you think about how a player may use his social media to recruit another player that he wants to come, you know, to come be part of the mix or come be part of their city in their uniform, their locker room. And then the team ends up signing someone else, or that guy ends up going to another team. And then what do? You delete the tweet that's already been retweeted 17,000 times, or you just leave it up there and hope that it's forgotten, except, you know, old takes exposed and those kind of Twitter accounts out there too. We'll see. Yeah, that actually did catch my eye about Jordy. The fact that it was Raiders and then two NFC teams. One of them was in the North, which of course is where he just got cut from, the Green Bay Packers. So that would stink for the Packers to have to see him, but I bet it would be nice motivation for Jordy. Okay, straight ahead, we'll get to some of the other free agent moves, and we're getting your final four picks. Funny poll that producer Tom has put up on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, about the most annoying thing to hear from sports fans that you don't know. And even if you do know them, I can imagine it would be annoying. March Madness brackets, fantasy sports lineups, your bad poker or gambling debts and beats, and your favorite team's haters. I can't stand that phrase. I can't stand that one. I can't stand hot takes. Those are two, haters and hot takes. If I never, ever, ever hear them again when I finish working this business, it will be too soon.
Haters gonna hate.
Yeah, I hate that too. Okay, coming up, we'll get to the latest in the QB news and some of the other big name movement, because it's a happy new year in the NFL. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, Amy.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
I'm glad it's finally here. You know, like you said, I feel like I've been waiting for this for a long time. You know, for it to finally be official so I could, you know, get in the building and be here and kind of start the process. So I'm excited for it. I'm excited that we're here now and this we can kind of get the ball rolling.
The voice of Alex Smith. It does feel like a really long time ago that Smith was traded from the Chiefs to the Washington Redskins. He was the first domino to drop, and then heavens, all heck broke loose after that. But Mitch Holtis on the Chiefs radio network calling the last couple touchdowns for Alex Smith. And then you hear him on RedskinsTV.com. Yes, now it is official. Not quite official yet for Kirk Cousins in Minneapolis, though. He's there in Vikings territory. He and his wife had dinner with Ziggy Wolf and Vikings brass on Wednesday night, and are now on Thursday morning expected to be finalizing the contract, his agent flying in. He's taking a physical, and by Thursday afternoon, we could have Kirk Cousins in purple. There's expected to be a press conference and an introduction later this afternoon. Will you notice if you're consumed by March Madness? That's kind of the interesting question. Will there be an NFL news dump? Maybe someone gets suspended while March Madness is going on. Someone gets arrested while March Madness is going on. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Some other QB news. This is, in my opinion, just an interesting twist. The Bills, who obviously traded Tyrod Taylor to the Cleveland Browns, now sign A.J. McCarron, who's expected to compete with Nathan Peterman for the starting job there in Buffalo. This is the guy who he's got about just under 1,000 passing yards since he joined the Bengals in, I guess it was four seasons ago. But he made his five starts in 2015, including a playoff game. Fairly good numbers, just a limited sample size. And the Bills get him for a two-year deal, at least $10 million. He could make another $6.5 million in incentives. Buffalo also has the number 12 pick and the number 21 pick in this first round of the NFL draft. But just to see the numbers for him and how they pale in comparison to the numbers for Jimmy Garoppolo. And yes, Garoppolo has made two more starts and has played in more games. So both of these guys did kind of mop-up duty. When Brady would be done, Garoppolo would go in and get some reps. Same thing with McCarron. And so Garoppolo's got an extra year under his belt, and he's got a little more of the time on the field. But still, there is such a major disparity between their contracts that I couldn't help but notice. So the Bills have A.J. McCarron along with Nathan Peterman. Trevor Siemian heads from the Denver Broncos to the Vikings via trade. So that's kind of interesting. Siemian is now going to be the guy backing up Kirk Cousins, presumably. And maybe that opens the door for the Broncos to draft a QB. We had this conversation on our last show. Someone called up and asked me if I thought the Broncos were still going to use their number five draft pick on one of these quarterbacks that are, you know, everybody's talking about: Allen, Rosen, Mayfield, and Darnold. And Mayfield's pro day was yesterday. The Broncos had no fewer than seven people on hand to watch Baker Mayfield's pro day. And that included John Elway and Gary Kubiak and included Vance Joseph, the head coach. Remember, they just got Case Keenum, and it sounds like they're in with him. This is not just hey, we'll get you on the roster and we'll let you compete with everybody else. This is them giving him an opportunity to really sink his teeth in there in Denver, be their starter, be a good locker room guy. They trust him. It's not
thank you to John Elway.
It's not just we're settling for Case Keenum kind of a thing. But if they do draft a QB at number five, then you would expect to have Keenum kind of working toward that end of also mentoring this young guy. They wouldn't have to start him right away. And with the Trevor Siemian move, it makes it more likely, but they still would have too many quarterbacks on their roster. So that one's really interesting. Case Keenum, Paxton Lynch, who was a first-round draft pick a couple of years ago, Chad Kelly, who they just got in last year's draft in the fifth round, maybe seventh round. It was late-round draft pick. And then if they would draft, let's just say, for sake of argument, that Baker Mayfield's there at number five, I'm really hoping the Giants will take Baker Mayfield at number two. We had this whole discussion earlier with the Giants fan about whether or not the Giants would take him off the board so that we could all see Eli Manning attempt to tutor Baker Mayfield. Could you have two guys who had more opposite personalities? Good morning, Andrew Bogish. You seem to be staring off into space. Or maybe my show is just boring.
No,
it probably is tonight.
Pondering the future of A.J. McCarron in Buffalo as it's playing on the TV. All the goodness that's about to come to upstate New York.
All right, well, then I won't ask you to answer the question that I just kind of floated out there. But that is, it's certainly not a hidden, obsession would be too strong, but a hidden interest in Baker Mayfield with the Broncos contingent. Also, two running back moves. Jerick McKinnon becomes the second highest paid running back in the NFL behind Le'Veon Bell. So the Niners sinking a bunch of money into him. And Carlos Hyde signs in Cleveland for a 3-year deal, which, of course, is not necessarily going to mean he spends all three seasons there, but $6 million in the first year for this running back. So you wouldn't see them going after Saquon Barkley with that first pick, would you? That's an interesting one, too. But now they have holes on their offensive line to fill. Joe Thomas retires, and they already had holes that they had to fill on the O-line. So still moving and shaking. Eric Ebron, Ndamukong Suh, Tyrann Mathieu available among some of the big names. Jordy Nelson, too, though he's making some visits. So there's a lot still happening. And it seems odd since we're only a few hours into the NFL New Year. Coming up next, the resident after-hours QB. I don't know if I should spring on him. What is your final four? Andrew, are you listening now?
I was listening before, okay. Too. I could have answered your Baker Mayfield, Eli Manning question.
Not actually that interesting. This one's interesting. It's interesting to me. I don't know if it is to anyone else. This is interesting. What annoys you more, hearing someone talk about their fantasy football team or hearing someone tell you about their March Madness bracket?
Thank you, Tony Romo. Probably fantasy football because it happens more often. And then I feel like I'm not a good fantasy football player because I'm not making constant trades and waiver wire moves.
The
quantity of the fantasy football conversation probably wins out here.
We've actually got a poll up about what annoys you the most, and we've put a couple other options in there too. Bad poker and gambling. Tom uses the word beats, which I didn't even know what that meant. I had to ask. So, I'm super uncool.
Like stories of people's bad beats?
Yeah, like like people telling you about how they lost a bunch of money.
I like those. I am against gambling, so I want to hear how you're losing money.
It's so annoying, though.
I actually think those are amusing myself. And then this one I will say is right up there for me. When people talk about all the haters of their team, like seriously, go take your haters and stuff it with your hot takes somewhere where the sun don't shine. I don't need to hear about your haters, but that's just me. You don't mind the haters?
I have no response.
Oh, because you feel like you have many haters?
I don't have any haters. I would love some haters. haters are good. That means you're important.
You could have some of mine. I don't think it means I'm important.
At Andrew Bogish on Twitter.
I just think it means I'm loud and they can't really avoid me. All right, coming up next, our After Hours resident QB. Also, what annoys you the most?
Isaac.
Sorry. Wow, that's not one of the options.
I'm kidding.
Okay. You can take our poll.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You've just got hours left to fill out your March Madness bracket. And then we can all stop talking about it. Oh, no, wait. It goes for another 3 weeks. We're still going to be talking about it. And I know it may be annoying to you, but take part in the After Hours Bracket Challenge anyway. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, Twitter, A-Law Radio, Facebook page, too. It's pinned to the top of our Facebook page. And in the midst of all of the March Madness excitement and all of you people placing your illegal bets, there's also a lot happening in the NFL. Legal, right? All legal tampering. None of this stuff was discussed before legal tampering, period. And now we're into the Happy New Year. So we thought it was a good time to welcome our resident After Hours quarterback. We've dubbed him that because he needed a home, and we thought we'd provide a good home for the stray. No, I'm just kidding. Dan Orlovsky is a longtime backup quarterback in the NFL, just recently retired. So, Dan, up early. I have no idea why. How is the coffee?
The coffee's doing its job. I'm up early every morning like this, sipping my cup of coffee and some peace, because my kids, when they get up, my house turns into Disney World. So I need some peace and quiet early.
All right, but except for usually you're watching tape. Were you watching tape this morning, too?
Yeah, I'm watching tape. I started to watch tape on all the rookie or the kids coming out of the draft, especially at the quarterback position. So I just get up and watch tape. I think I've just been brainwashed over the years of doing it as a player, so I just continue on that process.
Well, why don't we start there? Because I've seen a bunch of your tweets about the Browns and having the number one and the number four pick, and people have made the argument that you should take Saquon Barkley. Now, this was pre them signing Carlos Hyde, but you should take Saquon Barkley and then, you know, take a quarterback that you kind of like at number four. As you watch these four QBs, I mean, it's pretty obvious that they're different. What's the philosophy then if you find a quarterback that you like, if the Browns find one they like?
Well, here's my thing with that argument is, one, running backs don't change franchises. There's not an example, or more than maybe one, in the last 30 years where a running back has absolutely changed the face of a franchise. It just doesn't happen because the position is such a small window for success in the NFL. So that's my thing with everyone's argument of taking Saquon Barkley first. Second of all, the talk became more rampant after the combine. And did everyone expect Barkley to go to the combine and just have pedestrian numbers? Like, we knew he was going to blow it up athletically. And then I referenced it to like this. John Dorsey and the Browns aren't going to fall in love with like four quarterbacks. There's going to be one guy in this draft that they look at and go, we really think he's got a chance to be a good NFL quarterback. I mean, because the reality is every year in the NFL, there's 10 good quarterbacks, maybe 11, give or take. And there's some good to really good to great. And that number pretty much stays the same. We're kidding ourselves if we think there's three or four in this draft that are just all of a sudden going to happen to be really good quarterbacks in the NFL. So my thing is, the Browns are where they are and have been had the narrative that they've had over the last decade, not because they've missed a running back, but because they've missed a franchise quarterback. And so you're in the position you're in right now at the first pick because you need a franchise quarterback. So take advantage of, you know, some of your failures and find your franchise quarterback, finally. And that's my thing with this whole, the narrative or the conversation of Saquon Barkley and one, and just, we'll find a quarterback you like at four. That's just unrealistic and bad business type of mindset.
Is there one that you like or one that stands out to you as you watch tape?
Yeah, there is. Well, for me, I think Sam Darnold should be the number one pick, and he's my favorite quarterback in the draft. I do like Josh Rosen. The reason I like Darnold the most is, and I've stated this a bunch, Darnold's got this magical sloppiness, I call it, to his game, where everything he does is sloppy. You know, the bad stuff.
Wait, that's good? It's magical?
Yeah. Here, I'll tell you how. So the bad.
Well, that's not good. Magical sloppiness. He was just about to tell us about magical sloppiness.
Yeah, so the bad stuff is because he gets sloppy. But the good stuff is because he gets sloppy. He's got this magic to his game where I look at him like Tony Romo and Ben Roethlisberger combined, where they just, when you watch them play, they have this kind of like recessy, sloppy in the pocket. They move around. you watch them make some plays, and it's, you scratch your head because you're like, how does that guy do that? And Darnold's got that to his game where it's this ability that you can't coach. He's born with it. It's kind of, you know, been grown up in him throughout all the reps of him playing other sports and quarterback. And I just love that aspect about his game because it's such an integral part of the quarterback position in the NFL right now. You've got to be able to be a little bit creative and make them some things in the pockets when they break down happen, especially if you're going to the Browns, because you're going to a team that isn't loaded talent wise. And so you can, you're going to have to be creative with some stuff, where in comparison to a guy like Josh Rosen, who I do like, and he's very accurate and he's very refined. I guess if I was nitpicking his game, the one thing he doesn't have is that creativity, is that, you know, what I call that magical sloppiness that Darnold has to make, you know, a very average play into a special one.
Dan Orlovsky, longtime NFL QB, now the After Hours resident QB with us here on the show, CBS Sports Radio. I saw that you were posting tweets and videos of A.J. McCarron's game. What can the Bills fans and the Bills themselves look forward to with A.J.?
Yeah, I think it's a good signing by the Bills. You know, I watched all of A.J. McCarron's tape, all the snaps he's ever taken in the NFL, whether they were preseason, regular season, or postseason. And I went into it with this idea or this mindset of what I was going to expect, and I came out of it with a different reality. I was impressed by what I saw out of him and his ability to, you know, he displayed the ability to understand what they were doing offensively, which sounds simple, but not all quarterbacks can do that. And then understand what the defense was giving him and how to go attack it, which, again, sounds simple, but not a lot of guys can do that. And so those two traits stood out to me. I thought that, you know, he displayed the ability to be aggressive and push the ball downfield. He wasn't a check down Charlie where I was just trying to be, you know, safe with the ball and make sure I didn't turn it over and never put it in harm's way. So I liked those, you know, I liked those variables about his game. And I just, it's such a smart decision or signing by the Bills. I would rather have McCarron at the 2-year deal and the numbers that he got than I would have Sam Bradford with the 1-year deal that he got. I honestly would, because there's a little bit of a risk reward, and your investment with A.J. McCarron has the chance to be much more rewarding than what it costed you to get in. And so I think you're getting a guy that at worst is going to be solid, and at best will continue to develop into a guy that can be a situational or a good, solid starter for your football team.
All right, Dan, I have to ask you this because it's driving me a little bit nutty, me trying to figure this part out. And I get that some of it's situational and you're worth whatever a team will pay you. But when you look at as you talk about, the number of snaps, there's not a huge sample size with A.J. McCarron, but there's also not a huge sample size with Jimmy Garoppolo. He's got a couple more starts. He had a little more mop-up duty behind Tom Brady. He's got an extra season. But again, we're not talking about so much more that you can see on tape with him. Why then the major disparity between what these two guys are making with their next deals?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'd say this. So you have to go back to the genesis of their NFL careers. So Jimmy Garoppolo was the guy that throughout the draft process, teams really started to like and chatter started to come around. And then he ends up being a second round pick, where A.J. McCarron was a guy that, you know, did a lot of good stuff at Alabama, but then the nitpicking started come and ends up being a fifth-round pick. That's a reality in the NFL, is where you get picked still carries weight no matter how many years your career goes. So that's part of it. The second thing is where they went. You know, I mean, Garoppolo was a guy who went and learned under Tom Brady, and when he had the opportunity to play, did some really good things and won some games. And then you look at A.J. McCarron, who went and everyone goes, well, he couldn't even beat out Andy Dalton. How good can he be? And then he goes and gets some starts and does pretty well, but still not better than Andy Dalton. And then when they have Garoppolo is the new kid on the block. He's the fresh blood. And so when he got traded and gets plugged into a situation where San Francisco was, I think, 0-9, and then he rolls off 5 or 6 straight wins, or 0-10 and 5 or 6 straight wins, you go, wait, all this guy does from what we know in the NFL is climb the draft board, get drafted into the second round, learn from Tom Brady, win a couple starts with the Patriots, and now he's won 5 or 6 in a row with a team that couldn't win any games. And A.J. McCarron was just the guy that, you know, did some decent things on tape 2 years ago,
but again, was a fifth round pick and never beat out Andy Dalton. So, you know, the NFL is a unique world, mm-hmm. and your mind as a general manager can get shaped by a lot of different things. And, you know, I think that coming into free agency with McCarron, teams set their boards. Just like a draft, they set their boards with free agency. We have this guy. And McCarron fell in line at number 6 or number 7 because of that, where San Francisco had to make a decision on Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. They had to because of that trade and what they gave up for him and where they were going to be with free agency coming into this year and Kirk Cousins availability and all that. And so they just, it's like the stock market. I mean, you have to at some point make a decision to invest. And that's what San Francisco did with Garoppolo in comparison to teams, you know, were not wanting to buy that stock at AJ McCarron so high.
I just have about 30 seconds. You mentioned Cousins, but there's been misreaction to his fully guaranteed deal. What's your reaction to 3 years, $84 million?
I think it's brilliant by him. It makes a ton of sense. I think it's very smart for the Vikings because if you look at them and all the pieces that they have, we know that windows in the NFL are small, and so when they present themselves, you have to do anything you can to go win that. And if you're looking at it and going, where's the position, the one position we feel we can upgrade in free agency, it's quarterback. And so you cannot put a price on having that guy at that position that totally changes your franchise. And the success or the opportunity for them to go into the Super Bowl is now infinitely higher because they have Kirk Cousins. So mm-hmm. I think it's smart on both sides. And now the Vikings become the, you know, the one or two team seed in the NFC to go play in the Super Bowl.
Well, I think it's going to be really interesting. We've had so many quarterbacks change teams. It's like a flight plan of the United States with all the different quarterbacks taking off to different franchises. Sure. Dan Orlovsky, make sure you follow him on Twitter. He's got some amazing breakdowns of tape. It's great to talk to you this morning. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Amy.
Yeah, this is what he does now in his free time. This is why he's the after-hours resident QB. So good to talk to Dan. I'd have a chance to ask him if he took any time to fill out his bracket. But, you know, since that's one of the things that annoys us, we won't worry about it. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. You can get all your insurance needs at geico.com. We're back tonight for March Madness After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.